Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
You wanna holler, go away. I need more peace and hope and love. Where do I find it in this crazy old world?
I need strategies, strategies for every radio. Your dose of radio rehab. Strategies for every radio. Every time I listen, Lauren share strategies for living, and it makes me aware. I've got strategies for living. Strategies for living radio. Your dose of radio rehab. Strategies for living radio. Your dose of radio rehab.
Oh, you know we need strategies, don't we? We need strategies for living. You ready? Ready for your daily dose of radio rehab?
I'm ready today. Right. I hope everybody else is ready.
Well, I tell you what. We've got quite the program today. Hey, folks, welcome. Welcome into Strategies for Living. I'm Dr. David McMillan. She is psychotherapist, Lauren Leon McMillan, PLPC. Lauren, do you remember hearing anything about the it was October the 28th, 2015, and it, at the height of the biggest refugee crisis since World War II, a dangerously overloaded old wooden boat set sail for Turkey, and the smugglers had promised the passengers a very safe journey to the nearby Greek island of Lesbos. Hope I'm saying that name correctly. But the boat swayed side to side, and at 3:10 in the afternoon, the vessel broke apart, hundreds of men, women, and children into the rolling seas, and it was the largest loss of life in the crisis in the Aegean that year. Our life strategist is Jean Carstensen. She reported on the shipwreck that day, but, you know, can you only imagine? I can't even imagine. Reporting on something like that kind of gets under your skin.
Talk about right? The depths of emotionality, the depths of living, the depths of understanding.
Yeah. Right? And so Jean felt that there was so much more that she didn't know about the lives of the people. It's ended up in a book called A Greek Tragedy, One Day, A Daily Shipwreck, and the Human Cost of the Refugee Crisis. Jean Carstensen is our life strategist today here on Strategies for Living. Can you imagine what we're going to learn, what we're about to learn?
I can't wait. Yeah. I know she's got a lot to share with us, and I'm ready to learn.
We're gonna come in and meet Jean. Folks, thank you for being with us today here on Strategies for Living. I promise an intriguing program today. And we appreciate our sponsors making it all possible. The Robinson Film Center. And Azalea Cleaners, and Pintail Roofing and Learning RX and the Balanced Life Wellness Center and Fertitta's Delicatessen, home of the Godfather, Alligator, Italian Sausage, and some pretty good Muffies, too. Back in a moment to meet life strategist Gene Karstensen, the author of A Greek Tragedy, today, right here on Strategies. Stay with us. Hey, let's talk about the Robinson Film Center. You know, I say it a lot. There's no place like the
Absolutely
Robinson.
Absolutely, there is not.
617 Texas Street, downtown Shreveport. You've got so much. You've got the movies. You got Abby Singer's Bistro on the second floor of RFC, open for lunch and dinner Tuesday through Saturday.
Newly remodeled.
Absolutely. Great menu. RobinsonFilmCenter.org is the way you check it all out. You can go to RobinsonFilmCenter.org at any time and find out what movies are showing. Here's the deal. You want to join the crowd, join the fun, become a member. When you become a member, you become a star. You get discounts on movies, you get concession upgrades, you get bistro deals. RFC, 617 Texas Street in downtown Shreveport. I'll say it again. There's no place like the Robinson.
There is not, and I'm glad we have one right here.
Absolutely. The Robinson Film Center, .org.
Reading begins not in the classroom, but in your child's brain. I'm Donisa Walker with Learning RX Shreveport. If your child struggles to read, maybe he or she has trouble focusing or comprehending, Learning RX Shreveport offers a science solution to reading problems, working one-on-one with your child, targeting his or her reading skills. Today, call Learning RX Shreveport. Make an appointment to have your child assessed. I know you want to help your child. So does Learning RX Shreveport.
Welcome in to Strategies for Living. Lauren Leon McMillan, David McMillan. Let's welcome into the program now Gene Karstensen. She is an award-winning journalist. Her work has appeared in the New York Times, The Nation, Foreign Policy, and Salon, and broadcast nationally on the world. She covered the Syrian refugee crisis in Greece and Turkey. Has been awarded grants and fellowships from the Pulitzer Center, Logan Nonfiction Program, and Mesa Refuge, where she was the Peter Barnes Long-Form Journalism Fellow. She's written a book we were talking about it in the intro. I'll hold it up here to the radio so you can see it. It's A Greek Tragedy, and just out. And Gene Karstensen, welcome. Welcome to Strategies.
Welcome.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
All right. So October the 28th, 2015, this boat, the boat should only have a few people, but it capsized off the coast of the Greek island of Lesvos. I hope I'm saying that name correctly.
Yes, that's just fine. Lesvos or Lesvos, yes.
Anyway, hundreds of refugees spilled into the Aegean Sea, and the life loss was, it was the largest amount in a single day during the refugee crisis. So there was already, you know, I guess a light shining, but it made the light a lot brighter, did it not? It brought the ongoing emergency into a very sharp international focus. And you reported that day, and now you've written this book. It kind of got under your skin, huh?
It did. It got under my skin because I was there that day. And what happened is the Coast Guard and local fishermen, they had to rescue hundreds of people from the water. And one horrible thing is that the smugglers would sell the refugees, if you can believe it, fake life jackets.
Oh, mm.
So not good foam, right? Not a foam to keep you buoyant. Some people didn't have life jackets. And in general, another thing, you know, people are coming to Greece. Greece is a country about water. And yes. People who grew up in Greece are comfortable with the water.
Right.
But this day and this period, you had people coming from the Middle East and from Afghanistan, places like this where certainly some people were familiar, but the most people were not. So add to that, they don't really know how to swim very well. They don't have good life jackets. It's gale force winds, so there's big waves out there. And I saw the people start to come in, and the faces, you know, those faces stayed with me for years.
Wow. Yeah.
And I knew when I looked at each face, something, you know, they'd just been through some kind of hell.
Yeah.
And it took me years to go back and track some of those people down and get their stories.
Mm-hmm. How did witnessing that human suffering so up close, how did that transform your view of humanity or resilience?
That's such a good question. I think over the course of weeks and months, actually, there was the shipwreck, but then there were people coming in every day. And I saw two sides to the people who were arriving at that time. On the one hand, it was like, wow, they are so vulnerable, mm-hmm. because they risk their lives to cross this water. They arrive onto the beach. So now I'm not talking only about my ship, the shipwreck I wrote about. I'm talking about when the rafts did arrive and they got out, and sometimes people would, you know, kiss the ground and thank God for having gotten across. So that vulnerability is something amazing to witness. But at the same time, I thought, these are really strong people. Mm. They have a vision. They've gotten together with their families, their networks, and they are moving forward.
Yeah.
So that's how it impacted me. Both, it was the dose of remembering how vulnerable we all are as humans. And then it was also a dose of, okay, this is what it takes to survive.
It's a beautiful paradox, isn't it? To be so vulnerable, yet so steadfast at the same time.
It is. It really is.
Now, were you assigned to cover this, you wrote about it when it you were there when it happened. Were you were on assignment, Jean?
I was on assignment. I was.
Want to find a way to give back this holiday season, but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. It's easy. Instead of wasting time and money on gifts that nobody wants or needs, help your friends and family give back and give to something good, something meaningful. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for a friend or family member, a cause, or an organization. Help out the local animal shelter. Get that little lending library up and running. Just make your world a better place. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Tis the season for giving back, and giving feels good. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
A reporter, and I had grants to be over there from the Pulitzer Center, and I was on the radio every other day or every few days for this program called The World. And so I was doing a lot of stories. I was there for a couple months during that period. But October 28th was sort of the worst day in a season of very bad days. So I was just doing my work. I didn't know there was going to be a big shipwreck that day. We were all very nervous, though, because gale force winds were predicted for the afternoon, and they were strong enough that the local fishing fleet had been confined to port. Everybody knew that the weather was dangerous that day. It was sunny, but very dangerous.
Do you have any personal connection to Greece? Did you ask for the assignment? Just wondering.
Yeah, no, I don't. Although I had traveled there and I had spent some time on Lesbos in previous years, and I'd gotten to know a little bit about the culture of the place. And, you know, like a lot of people, I enjoyed learning and thinking about Greek mythology. And it's an amazing part of the world, because when you're on the island of Lesbos and you're looking across just 5 miles across to Turkey, the ancient ruins of Troy are just a little bit to the north from there. You almost feel like you could throw a rock and hit it. Yeah. And so it's this narrow body of water, but you feel the weight of history there.
Lauren, you were there.
Visit Lesbos.
But you were in Greece around that time, right?
Yeah. I guess 6 months earlier, we went in May of 15.
You were on a trip with Centenary College here.
So it's wild to me that it wasn't on my radar after the trip, but I was probably caught up in all the college things. But I can definitely attest to everywhere in Greece, there's this feeling of, you're in the midst of modern times, yet the ancient ruins are literally right below your feet.
It's so paradoxical that, you're in modern times, the ancient ruins are there. Is humanity really any different?
That's the question, right?
Yeah. And I'm wondering if that ties into the title of the book, Gene. I'm just wondering that. A Greek tragedy. It kind of, suggests echoes, this echo of a classical tragedy, if you will.
I had a feeling you might be going there with that question. Yes, it does. And I mean a Greek tragedy in the kind of universal sense. So this accident took place in the landscape of Greek tragedy. You know, what's amazing, if you ever get a chance to go there, just across in Turkey, there's an ancient Greek theater, and you can sit on this outdoor theater and you can look across at Lesbos. And when you're on Lesbos, there's an ancient Greek theater. Now, that one is not in as good a shape, but it was once very well known in the ancient world and very beautiful. So there was a theatrical sense, and it just led me to make that connection between Greek tragedies and everything that has happened over and over and over again in that same body of water. And what do Greek tragedies make us do? They don't resolve things for us. They kind of show the crazy, difficult, bad side of humanity sometimes.
Sure.
But as we sit and watch it, we in a way can think about avoiding that, healing our own wounds, reflecting on how we can do better. And so I guess I bring that sensibility a little bit to the book, but I want to say I'm not a scholar and I'm not really trying to make a comment on Greek tragedy in any academic sense, but and it was also literally a Greek tragedy for the Greek people that year.
Sure.
Right. Yeah. And you've spent a day, this is your first book, right?
This is my first book. I've been a journalist my whole career, but this is my first book.
Wow. So you can literally say a decade in the making. And
it was a decade in the making. Yes.
Yeah. And I'm even wondering, as you turn on the news today, if you get twinges of you know, the all of the refugees that we, the stories that we're hearing today. And if that gives you a twinge for all that you have reported and been through.
Yeah, lots of twinges, yeah. I have to say.
Yeah.
Lots of twinges, you know? And I mean, one thing I came away from this whole process of researching for so long and interviewing people is that this could really happen to any of us. Mm. And I think it's so interesting what you said, Lauren, that you were in Greece not long before this, and that you didn't tune into this incident or particularly tune into the crisis that was going on.
All right, Jean Carstensen, our life strategist today. The book is A Greek Tragedy, and we'll be right back here on Strategies for Living. Stay with us.
To your table, we're keeping it alive with flavors from the family passed down to survive. The Godfather's here with a twist in the tail, alligator Italian sausage, and it sure won't fail. It's the boss of the bayou, a taste you can't refuse. Italian tradition, Cajun infused. Sausage, bold and true. Padres, bringing the bayou to you.
Get the Godfather, alligator Italian sausage only at Fertitta's Delicatessen, 1124 Fairfield Avenue in Shreveport. Pick up a Muffy while you're there. The Godfather, alligator Italian sausage. It's a taste you can't refuse. Sold only at Fertitta's, 1124 Fairfield Avenue in Shreveport.
Dealing with stress? Pain? Feel like you're running out of options? When your life is balanced, wellness is a given. True wellness is holistic. It's about the mind, the body, and the spirit, all in balance. Now, there's a place right here in Shreveport that's all about helping us achieve peak mental, emotional, and physical health. The Balanced Life, 117 Kings Highway, right next door to Strawn's. Come see and feel the difference getting your life in balance can be. Many of your friends and neighbors have already learned the difference less stress and pain mean in their lives. You can book a discovery session right now online, thebalancedlife.us. All you've got to lose is stress, pain, or maybe both. Come see and feel for yourself the real difference balanced wellness makes. The Balanced Life Wellness Center, 117 Kings Highway in Shreveport, next door to Strawn's. TheBalancedLife.us.
Facing the same old problems day to day makes you want to holler, get away. Looking for the road that'll get me there. Looking for hope and peace to spare. Looking for strategies. Strategies for living radio. Your dose of radio rehab strategies.
And if you're looking for strategies, well, we just happen to have some right here. And welcome back. Welcome back into Strategies for Living. Lauren Leon McMillan, David McMillan, and Jean Carstensen, author of A Greek Tragedy, and her first book, and I'm treating her so bad. I'm shutting her down because we have to pay bills. So apologize for that, Jean. Mm-hmm. But you were beginning to make a great point,
yes,
off of Lauren's, you know, talking about being the vicinity just, what? Just
6 months.
Within the six months of the tragedy.
And I was unaware. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, it just fascinates me how hyper local these kinds of events can be. Mm-hmm. So like on the island of Lesbos, it's only 85,000 people. It's actually not that small. Everybody says the small island of Lesbos. It's the third biggest of all the Greek islands. But all I wanted to say is the refugees were arriving that year into a certain part of the island. Many people in the island, just the same island, really didn't know what was going on. Mm-hmm. And that would fascinate me. Yeah. And even within one village, the people who happened to live on the, you know, around the port, well, it was impacting them every day. Whereas people who lived in the upper villages up high, it was easier for them to kind of ignore it or not let it impact them as much. Mm-hmm. I find that really interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. That separation, if you will, mm-hmm. that we create as humans to keep us to keep our own egos intact, mm-hmm. right?
And our own stories.
Yeah. And our own stories intact. Hey, don't bother me with your tragedy. I've got my own, right?
Right.
What were some of the most powerful stories for you, Jean, that you encountered while you were doing the reporting and maybe stayed with you during the process of writing the book?
Yeah, I think of two things. The first one is a young man from Afghanistan who I interviewed twice in over a several year period. And he,
since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
Was on this boat, and he got on there with his two sons, 2 and 3 years old, and his wife, Sora. And he was just such an incredible man. I was so inspired by him. And, you know, he told me about his young sons and how their favorite games were Candy Crush. And the oldest son loved to wear a little bow tie and was very dapper and had like a collection of colored socks because everything had to match. And then the younger son was a little devil. So getting to know these people in that way, it really stayed with me. And then, of course, the family gets on the boat. And his bravery in telling me what happened to him. And, you know, it's really hard what happened to him. If you read the book, you'll meet him at the beginning of the book. And then you'll follow him all the way through, because what happens when the ship goes down is then his wife and Hadayat, they get separated in the water. Mm. And one has one son and the other has the other son. And they don't have life jackets, but his wife is holding on to like a tire, something like that. Right. And Hadayat is holding on to a piece of wood. And you find out, and he told me what it was like for him to have his son die in his arms in the water.
Wow.
And of course that stuck with me.
Yeah.
We see people, we hear about these kinds of disasters, but people don't go there that often. And it was very moving, his bravery. And also I realized that if he was feeling that way, all the other people that lost their family members were feeling that way. But he's so strong and determined that once he was rescued, even though he had lost his oldest son, he spent weeks and weeks searching for his wife and his youngest son, because it wasn't clear that they had died. There was some chance they had been rescued, mm-hmm. or maybe they'd been picked up and taken over to the Turkish side. So his quest to find his wife and his younger son, and also he just had that very human quest that he wanted to give them a good burial. Mm-hmm. And we take that for granted. If we live wherever we live, our loved one dies, we can bury them. They're buried with respect. And then we can go and say our last respects. And he wanted to make sure that would happen.
And we can go back and visit where the remains are, and we take that's a great point. We almost take that for granted, don't we?
We do. We do. And in the book, you know, there was one local Greek woman who was very, very concerned that refugees who were dying on her island of Lesbos, that they get proper burial. And there were many locals who really could not care less about that. Sure. Most of the refugees or migrants who died trying to reach Lesbos, you know, they were just put in the paupers area of the regular cemetery. Mm-hmm. And it's not good. And this happens actually all over Greece and the Mediterranean, that the dead of migrants are not treated the same way. And I know this sounds morbid, but I don't mean this in a morbid way. I actually think that the way we care for our dead is the way we care, you know, for the people in our societies.
It's reflective of how we care for life. Yeah. It you know.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. And one other story that's kind of the flip side, because I just shared a really hard story of suffering. The more I reported, the more I came across these incredible, small, heroic moments of these local people doing stuff that blew me away. And, you know, I'm reporting, I'm asking, I'm interviewing. And then finally, at like 1 a.m, I am talking to the coroner of Lesbos. Mm-hmm. And we're drinking red wine and Coke, because that's his favorite drink. And his wife shows up. And finally, I get to this story, and I'm working with an interpreter because they speak only Greek, and I don't speak Greek.
Right.
But it was a wonderful conversation, and it comes out that the coroner's wife that night had held a child who was almost dead from hypothermia, a child who had been rescued on October 28th from the shipwreck. And the doctors in the hospital said, listen, can you just keep this child comfortable? We think he's going to die, so we need to use the equipment for other kids that have a better chance. Mm. I don't know what happened with her, but she looked at the kid. She already had 3 children herself, and she said, I feel that he is like my son. Mm. He is not going to die. She takes him, holds him close to her, skin to skin, holds him for 6 days, and he survives.
Wow. Wow.
Wow. Wow. And they had decided they were going to adopt him. The coroner and his wife had such a bonding with this child. You have to understand, they don't know the child's name. Yeah. They don't know the country the child has come from, but they had this total bonding. And what ends up happening is also very beautiful. And that is, one day, it was about 5 or 6 days after the shipwreck, this young parents, a couple, come into the hospital, and I think they had a son with them, and they were led to the room where this woman was, and they looked, and it was their son. Mm-hmm. It was their son. Mm. And so the family was reunited. And here's another interesting detail, is that the coroner's wife, when she was holding the boy and the other mother came in, she took her crucifix, because she was Christian, mm-hmm. and she decided to just slip it under her blouse because she didn't know the religion of the other woman.
Right.
And she didn't want to offend her.
Right.
But apparently the other woman saw that gesture and wanted to put her at ease and just looked her in the eyes and held her and said, now my son has 2 mothers.
Wow.
Mm.
Wow. Yeah. And so that's just like one little story that's never been told. Had I not had that conversation, it never would have gotten out. Mm-hmm. But I think these stories are as journalistically as important as all the disasters that we always report about.
Absolutely.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, our life, our entire life is story, isn't mm-hmm. it? Yeah.
And I think it's more important now that we cultivate those stories of compassion and empathy, right? And especially maybe Jean, you can answer the question, what role does compassion and empathy play in the larger conversation about global crises? And how can we cultivate more of that?
It's hard. It is tricky, but I think the most important thing, I mean, I don't think anybody can be compassionate all the time. So I'm not somebody who has formulas for that. Right. But I do believe that we all want to lead as much as possible, you know, from kindness, because, you know, do unto others as they would do unto you.
Right.
There is a version of that in every single religion. Mm-hmm. And when I was there, you know, even though I was a journalist that day, that gives me a certain distance. But it was so chaotic and I was so close to everything that was going on. I was thinking, wow, if that had happened to me, I would certainly want to be treated decently as these people were doing. So, you know, globally, how do we do it? Here's one thing I would say. It's not good to completely separate, say, migrants and refugees from the local population. Mm-hmm. Once everybody is separate, then it's easier for lies to be told, and we don't even know who each other are.
Right.
Again, it may be difficult. We may have a lot of differences. Arrival of migrants may cause a lot of problems, but just shoving them away, out of sight, out of mind, behind locked doors, I think that's when it becomes harder to cultivate compassion, because you don't even have a chance for that little glance, that little human glance, or you hand somebody water, or you see somebody carrying a baby and you just remember, you know, the common stuff.
You take away the human touch.
The book is A Greek Tragedy. Jean Carstensen is our life strategist. We've got more to come here on Strategies for Living. Stay where you are. You're going to see the difference. When you go to Azalea Cleaners, you'll hear about it too. Azalea Cleaners has been fine dry cleaning since 1958, plus laundry, alterations and repairs, comforters, wedding gown cleaning and restoration. You'll hear about it from your friends because they'll see it too. They'll notice the Azalea difference. Azalea is convenient. 732 Azalea Drive, 9220 Ellerby Road, and 9227 Mansfield Road. Plus, the front door of your home or business with Azalea's delivery on demand. Just text SETUP to 249-8283, and Azalea will pick up your clothes and deliver them back clean and fresh to you. You can't get closer than that. That's the Azalea difference. You'll notice it right away. Others will too. The Azalea difference. Fine dry cleaning since 1958. Text SETUP to 249-8283 and get the Azalea difference. AzaleaCleaners.com.
Hi, this is Jay Merle for Pintail Roofing. Let's talk about quality. When you hire Pintail to build your roof, here's what you can expect. Quality and quality control are the most important concerns for us at Pintail, and you need to know that Pintail stands tall with swift and professional performance on any warranty call. This is our most important policy. And remember, we're your neighbors. We'll be here for you for the long haul. Our family's lived here for over 100 years, and we aren't going anywhere. On the commercial side of Pintail's business, our fluid-applied roofing solutions can save thousands of dollars over conventional commercial roofing options. Call Pintail at 226-ROOF for a free inspection of your home or commercial building. That's 226-7663. Pintail Roofing. What's the condition of your roof?
Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
We all have problems every day. We all need help along the way. We need strategies
Strategies, strategies for living radio.
And welcome back. Welcome back into Strategies for Living Radio. Lauren Leon McMillan, David McMillan, Jean Carstensen is our life strategist today. She is, she tells us she's never been a life strategist before, but it's not sounding like that. Maybe not
officially.
Yeah, maybe she hadn't been an official life strategist, but she's sure sounding like one to me. The book is A Greek Tragedy. It's her first book, a good book, one that it's got everything in it you want a book to have in it, including, I don't want to put this thing down. One day, a deadly shipwreck and the human cost of the refugee crisis. And one of the things that we always say here on Strategies, Gene, we're here to stretch people and to help us all stretch and think, and your book does that.
Yes.
Big time. When did you know? Okay, you were doing your journalistic reporting. When did you know, okay, well, this is going to be more than that? This is your first book. When did it hit you? This is going to be a book.
Well, in 2018, which was 4 years or 3 or 4 years after the shipwreck, I was just still haunted. But to be honest, at first I thought I would write some kind of general, more, I don't know, policy oriented or more traditional book about that period and what it was like for Greece. But then that shipwreck kept spinning around in my mind, and I realized I really wanted to do a deep, deep human story. Mm. And as journalists, we don't get time to do that. Yeah. And the other thing I was determined to do is I wanted it to not just be from the perspective of the migrants and refugees. I also wanted it to be from the perspective of the locals and the rescuers. And so I became obsessed with that and decided that if I could do that for focusing on a 24-hour period, that it might be a way to draw people into this topic who wouldn't normally read such a book. Because I don't want only the people who were already interested and follow migration issues. Mm-hmm. For me, this book is meant to be for the general reader who wants a very good and dramatic read and shipwrecks and wants to be educated a little bit and wants to get to know people you wouldn't get to know otherwise. So as I got going, it became an obsession, truly an obsession. That's what it took to write this book.
I can hook you up with a good therapist.
Well, I'm going to say we're all actually very grateful for that
dedication
and obsession, because it ended up in this beautiful story that we can all learn something from.
Thank you.
Yeah.
The writing, I mean, as a journalist, you were already adept at writing. Mm-hmm. How did you find writing a book different from your day-to-day journalistic writing?
It was really, really different. Mm. And I would say the first couple years of writing it, because you end up writing many, many drafts, and certain things work, certain things don't. I was also traveling 6 different times on international reporting trips to gather this information, because I had to meet the people in person. So I would have to fly to Turkey, fly to Germany. And the writing was really, really different. Luckily, I had a lot of friends who are novelists. Mm. And just being, I mean, they knew that what I was doing was nonfiction, but they were able to kind of give me tips about how to do this kind of writing and all the detail that you can bring to it. And also having a narrative that's not just for a short article, but I really wanted people to want to turn the page. I didn't want this to feel like work for anybody. And so I learned that as I went along. You know, some of it's about character, some of it is about structure. And so originally the book had a different structure, and then my editor and other readers kind of helped coax me towards its current structure, which is first you meet the people in their countries and get to know them before they get on the boat. Then you get to know the people on Lesbos that are dealing with this crisis, and then it all comes together during the shipwreck. And by that time, you know something about these people. It was a fantastic process. Of course, sometimes I despaired that I wouldn't be able to pull it off.
Yeah,
but you keep going.
Yeah,
you keep going.
I'm curious. Have any of the people whose stories you told seen the book, read the book, gotten back to you after reading the book?
Nobody's read the whole book because it only came out last week, and I will need to be shipping it to various countries because nobody, I'm the only person from the United States in this entire book, which is a very international cast of characters.
Yeah.
But you know, two of the people, I don't know if you remember Amel, the young Syrian artist who wore a waterproof camera.
Right.
And also Rizwana, who was 13 at the time, and she's Afghan. They both read the parts that I wrote about them. So they have seen that. And that's because, you know, as a journalist, you don't normally have people read ahead of time what you've written. But because this was such a personal experience and so much trauma was involved, I wanted to make sure that they felt okay with what I had done, and they both did, and that gave me a lot of confidence.
Got about a minute and a half. What do you really want your reader to take away after they read that last bit, close the book? What do you want them to take away from a Greek tragedy?
Just that it could happen to any of us, that this is a universal story, that when we look at these kinds of complicated situations on borders, our own border or other borders, you know, that we just remember that it's better not to completely turn away and demonize people who are forced to flee their homes, right? Because we could have to flee our homes. And if we're the ones who have to help, ideally, we might not be able to help all the time. We can't be perfect, but just so we just move a little bit towards people and don't lose our humanity.
Well said. The book is one that you're going to want to read, folks. It's a Greek tragedy. Gene Carstensen is the author, and you'll find it now wherever you buy books, out from One Signal Publishers. That's a division of Atria. And Gene Carstensen is our life strategist today here on Strategies for Living. We will be right back to wrap up our conversation with Gene Carstensen about a Greek tragedy. Get the book and keep the conversation going. We'll be right back. And welcome back. Welcome back into Strategies. Strategies for Living. Lauren Leon McMillan, David McMillan, with the author of A Greek Tragedy, Gene Carstensen. Congratulations on this first book. I hope there'll be more. I hope there'll be more books, Gene.
Thank you very much. I want to write more books.
Well, I hope you will come back and share with us here on Strategies. I hope you'll be a regular as you do write more books. I want to remind people that A Greek Tragedy, it's just out, so it's new. If you don't find it, we like people to go to their own booksellers in their communities.
Cool. Yeah.
But if you don't find a Greek tragedy, remember all of the places, right?
Mm-hmm.
Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com. Gene, you mentioned another good bookseller bookshop.
Yeah, bookshop.org is another place. Or with your local bookseller, just ask them and they'll order it for you, and it'll probably be there in a couple days.
Or check your library. Mm-hmm. You know, go
or
to
check
your
library.
Go to your library, and if they don't have a Greek tragedy, you could do a community service by saying, "Hey, let's get a few copies of a Greek tragedy." Mm-hmm. Gene, thank you so much for the work that you're doing. This was, I know, a labor, a decade of labor. And a labor of love for you. So thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you for coming and being a great life strategist here on Strategies for Living.
Thank you both. This was a fantastic conversation. Thank you.
Well, we couldn't have done it without you. Fantastic conversations need fantastic life strategists.
That's right.
Thank you, Gene Carstensen. Folks, thank you. Thank you for being a part of Strategies for Living. We appreciate you being with us. We do this program for you each and every day. And we can do it because of our wonderful sponsors, the Robinson Film Center and Azalea Cleaners and Pintail Roofing and Learning RX and the Balanced Life Wellness Center and Fertitta's Delicatessen, home of the Godfather, Alligator Italian Sausage, and some pretty good Muffies, too. If today were the last day of your life, you only had one more phone call that you could make. Who would you call? And what would you say? And why are you waiting? Make the call. For Gene Carstensen and for Lauren Leon McMillan, I'm David McMillan. See you next time right here on Strategies for Living.